very often during these immersive retreats, there is not so much time for questions and answers, and we may have questions and answers, but yeah, the time rushes by, and we also need to take care of our, you know, body. We need to eat, and we need to sleep, and wash our clothes perhaps, or check our WhatsApp. Yes, I'm serious, there's sometimes important communications that need to be kept, so there's little time. And I thought it is good if today we make time for all of us, where you can ask questions. We will go a little bit over time, but you will come for sure at 2 o'clock to your prasadam. For sure, we will make time. So the way to do this is to ask your question. If it is directed to one person, then you can say, I would like you to answer this question, Surabhi, and then Surabhi will answer. But perhaps make sure that not only Surabhi is answering all the questions, because we are more. I give an example. I think you understand. There may be times when a question comes, and I will take the role of the moderator, where I say, this question is a question for Anandamurti. He is best suited to answer this question, and so on. And now, this is for you, for you, that is the devotees who sit here, the kirtaniyas. I request you to try to make your answers concise and brief. I know this is very difficult when there are some questions which we feel require a long answer. Like, for instance, if you would ask Amala Harinam, how did you come to like kirtan? He would have to tell you his life story, really. Please try to give our best, try to have an editor in the mind, you know, who says shorter, but of course there must be content in it. So yes, who has the first question? I see Lara. Yes. Oh yeah, do we have a wandering microphone? We don't. Yes, you. This is not a big room. Yeah.
Okay. My questions. We were talking about Ayurveda today, and my question goes in the direction of
about what, please?
Ayurveda.
Ayurveda. Yes. Non-haste.
Do not lose hope when results don't come. Yes.
Yes.
And I see myself in a phase of transition. So I would like to know how to chant. So the past has already happened, and the future, or my purpose, hasn't shown up yet. So I feel in a phase of transition, basically. So I feel I'm attached to the blossom, but in order to accept the fruit, there's something in between the blossom and the fruit, the time where nothing is on the tree. So actually, there's a lot of happening, but inside. So I wanted to ask about the way of chanting, maybe the mood of what maybe your experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's an open question for everyone.
Good. This is a typical thing. It's an open question. So now the moderator, this is me, has to decide. And I think this is a question for Achyuta Gopi. Why? A few years ago, we met, and Achyuta Gopi herself was going through an important transition in her life. And I think you might be able to address this question. Did you understand? Good. Mm-hmm.
So as for a mood of chanting in this transitory time, really, really short, complete and utter desperation. And it's funny and not also. Sometimes we will feel as though we are desperate. And then we think, oh, but I don't know if I should show those emotions to Krishna. Why not? As we were hearing this morning, our situation is like that of somebody drowning. And in the in-between stage of out in the ocean, before the saving happens and you're back on the shore, there's desperation. And I think that that creates a very natural longing, where we're not trying to force the longing. So we've heard so much about chanting with longing, and I think sometimes we can try to artificially manufacture some longing in the heart and the mind. Yeah? Yes? No?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
We're trying to figure out what does this chanting with longing mean? And I don't think we have to worry about that, because Krishna will show you. He will give us the longing. There will be moments of desperation. There will be moments of, I don't know where to go next. I have no idea what I'm doing next. I have no idea how long this tunnel is. But I do know that for now it's you and me, Krishna. We're not in control of the past. It's already happened. We're not in control of the future. All we have is this moment where it seems as though nothing's happened. We've planted the seeds, put all the water in the soil, and then we wait. And so one of the key ingredients was also patience. And so that patience is sometimes simply sincerely and honestly tapping into those emotions and then telling Krishna about them. Because if I say that you and I are friends, Laura, but I never tell you anything deeply about me, and I'm never vulnerable, are we really friends? We're acquaintances, we know of each other, but we've never gone beneath a surface level. So this is the point in our chanting and our sadhana, our spiritual practice, where we get to be vulnerable with Krishna. And then we try and find out, will Krishna be there to catch us when we are vulnerable? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. I promise. He will be there to catch us if we have the courage to be vulnerable enough. So now, you have an opportunity to be incredibly brave. Can you be brave and courageous with your relationship with Krishna? It seems as though everything is dark and there's nothing happening, but it's not true. That's a trick of the mind. What's happening now is Krishna's chipping away at this fortress that we've built around the heart, trying to get deeper into the vulnerability. So if we can be courageous and simply, desperately call out to Krishna, I don't know where I'm going, but I know that you're with me, then somehow magic happens.
Thank you very much. The next question, please. Yes, I see that there's Krishna Murari, also known to many of us as Kuva. And then you will be the next Nityananda. Yes, Kuvalish. Krishna Murari.
When I chant alone, I feel what seems to be sneha, and my voice sounds buttery like Amala's, and resounds like Achyuta Gopi's, and sweetness like
Nadia.
So then, but then I go, wow, I really want to experience this in the association of other devotees when I lead. And then I sit at the mic, and then I become self-conscious instead of Krishna conscious. And I become you know, it's like, oh no, that devotee, he's going to rush me in the kirtan and I won't be able to chant like at my pace, or he's going to play that beat which I can never figure out how to move to the next. And I just become trapped in all of this. And then sometimes afterwards, devotees go like, oh, that was such sweet kirtan with such devotion, but I felt totally empty and disconnected. And then, you know, I'm just like, I get discouraged and I just avoid. So, oh, you leave the kirtan. And I'm like, that's okay, you do it.
Thank you very much. I think this is a question for Amala Harinam, because he is a kirtan leader, and I think all kirtan leaders do know this, that sometimes the instruments and the settings are not the way it is ideal, and then one might become self-conscious, where is this going to, and what to do at that time to uplift one's consciousness.
I think it's perfectly natural to feel self-conscious. I think singing is a very intimate activity, actually. The person singing may not always be the person who they show outside of singing. So it's not necessarily that because someone sings, they're automatically like an outgoing person. But I think the realization you have to come to is that singing kirtan for Krishna, you deserve it. You belong there. It's your right. It's your duty, actually. So once you start to become comfortable with this reality of this process is for me, and it's for all of us, actually. Some may just have the tools for a larger number of crowd to lead. But everyone should practice singing for Krishna, no matter the amount of people they're with. The second point about being aware of the details in a kirtan that you may feel are required for it to be successful, that's naturally there. Everyone has different tastes, different preferences, and the rhythms and the melodies and the style and the instruments used. And that's a great individual expression of your love for Krishna. So it's important to have preferences, actually, and not just copy someone else and just say, I'm going to sing an Amala Harinam melody now. Anyway, these melodies are coming in parampara, and I hate when I hear, this is my, you know, I'm singing an Amala Harinam melody, because some of us may invent our own, but anyways, they're based on the musical notes of ragas that are personalities themselves and are coming down, and they're being utilized by the gopis singing for Krishna. So anyways, the point is, it's good to have preference, but at the same time, every kirtan, actually, you come to the stage of surrender.
Yes.
When you have to realize you're not the controller, you try your best, you want the perfect setting, you want the perfect mridanga player, you want the harmonium to be perfect, and you want the sound guy to do whatever you want. But in the end, you have to surrender and realize it's not for you. And actually, the kirtan becomes successful when you surrender and you let it become everyone else's kirtan. So like that, you yourself have experienced that you weren't feeling so much pleasure in your own kirtan, but someone else did. So this happens all the time, where we are in our mind on this mental platform of thinking, it's not going how I planned it. But then someone else has such an amazing experience. You cannot predict this. You cannot force it. So, I think these are the two main points. It is your right to sing for Krishna and at the same time surrender.
Wonderful.
Yes, we saw Nityananda next.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. This is a question for you, Maharaj. In my mind, I see that there are two sadhyas that seem to be opposing in the process of Krishna consciousness. One sadhya, one goal, is to go back to Krishna, come back to Godhead. The other sadhya, or the other goal, is to serve Krishna. So we hear about some devotees, it doesn't matter where I am, I just want to serve Krishna. So in your lecture, in your workshop today, you spoke about we have to know where we are going in order to row in the right direction. So please could you clarify, where are we going? Which is the out of the two?
Yes, of the two, yeah.
Or are they somehow combined in some way?
I remember one god brother coming to Srila Prabhupada and saying, Prabhupada, I don't want to go back to the spiritual world. I want to serve, stay here in the world and serve. And he thought, now he will really get the Maha Sweet from Prabhupada. You know, you did very well in your... But Prabhupada said, you should want to go back home, back to Godhead, like anything. Because he could understand that devotee wanted to stay in the material world because of cars, perhaps, or mobile telephones, and which he would use in the service. On a higher level, it is back to Godhead is in your service, but that requires maturation. That requires. Higher perspective where you really do it for Krishna and you're nothing for me, everything for Krishna. That was Prabhupada's motto, how he conducted his life. So you have to decide on what level you are, Nityananda Ram. And yes, next question, please. Where? I don't see. Oh yeah, Michael, Hari Bol, Michael.
Hare Krishna.
Please speak loud enough so that we can hear.
This is an open question. From any of your experiences, how do we know when we're ready to take the next step in our spiritual life versus when we're at a place where it's good enough for now and it would be counterproductive to take the next step?
Wonderful. This is a question for Anandamurti. Why? Anandamurti was my personal physical trainer. I'm still considering him, but I'm so fit now that I don't. And he needed to understand all the time, when do I add weights and repetitions? Number of repetitions, and perhaps something is similar here in spiritual. He has to decide, yes, but it's his question.
Maharaj actually just answered the question. So I'll just add to that, because he so beautifully said it, that if we want to learn anything in life, we need a teacher. Like, we go to school, we learn math, we learn geography, we learn how to speak a language, but when it comes to spirituality, we think, we just have to feel, and we just know we're all connected. But it's more than that. It's true, because we travel around the whole world and we find people that just say, I'm emitting spirituality. And then we say, what is that? What do you speak of? They're like, I just feel something. So we have to get more past that. So we need a teacher to teach us what is spirituality. We're all here because we know we want to learn more about the name. There's more than just Hare Krishna Rama, right? There's more to it. I see some more advanced practitioners are here as well. Some beginners are here as well. We're here as well. We've been chanting our whole life. But we feel like I'm just starting right now. It feels like I don't know anything about the name. So we have our teachers. We have guides. We always need a teacher. who can assess us, who can know what exactly we need, right? So in my humble, I mean, not my humble recommendation, but what the acharyas teach us is that you need to find a teacher, someone that you can surrender to and you can get that divine knowledge from. Because this divine knowledge can only be revealed by the spiritual master. We cannot understand it with our own minds or intelligence. So the next step, if Maharaj, I'm right, is you should find a spiritual master, a teacher that inspires you and you can surrender to and then dive deeper. Hope that helps.
Bravo! Hare Krishna. Here you could see a fired up answer. Hare Krishna. So, we are stepping on something, it seems. Please ask your next question. Should I go closer? Or
He's saying bring the mic closer to you.
Okay. Who wants to ask the next question? Hari Prashad is there? Yes, please.
So I often struggle with...
Please speak loud enough that they can hear that.
Yeah. I often struggle with what sankalpa to make and what relationship to have with my sankalpa, because I have very, very high hopes and very strong aspirations, but I need to be also realistic. And sometimes I veer towards one, sometimes I veer towards the other, sometimes I try to go in the middle, but it's not clear what actually will work. And I have been disappointed in myself many, many times, repeatedly, from making a sankalpa but not being able to complete it and not being clear how to make the right sankalpa and how much will Krishna guarantee to help me, and so on.
Thank you very much. Your question is absolutely a question for Surabhi. Why? Surabhi is a teacher in the Kirtan course. I don't know how it is now, but it used to be the most high-rated Kirtan course in the world, actually, according to Manu. And but it is a wonderful Kirtan course. She constantly has to deal with students who are perhaps wanting to play harmonium in a certain way, and she needs to gauge or understand what they need to learn now, what is their next step. So when we take sankalpas, we most probably also need to know what is realistic to do. I hope I don't give answers here. I don't really intend to do this. I just want to make the question clear. So you say anything, Surabhi.
Hare Krishna. I really feel the only qualification or the only way to really know what to give your sankalpa, like how much, you know, where do you put it, is to know it also through prayer. Actually, this is an answer that came from Satchidananda Maharaj many, many years ago when I had just finished Bhaktivedanta College here. And he told me that you have maybe a goal, which could be your sankalpa, and there are many ways to approach it. You can, if your goal is here, you can go all around and you can come here, you can go there. You know, if you're just praying for the path, there are so many paths that you can go to. But if you pray to
Well, for me, really, it's Radha Gopinath. If you pray to Radha Gopinath, please reveal to me the goal. Make it as clear as possible. And oftentimes I really go and I say, I'm just very stupid. I don't understand it. don't give me anything vague. I don't get it. And that's why I really, really like love that Achyuta Gopi said that Nityananda Prabhu is very, very clear. So make the goal really clear, or your sankalpa really, really clear. Ask that through prayer. And the path and everything in between, it just becomes so simple for you because it's already clear. There's no question about it. That's my little answer.
Thank you very much, Surabhi. Bravo!
Very spoken, very spoken.
Are there other questions? I think this is for you.
The goal in this sense would be your sankalpa in relation to his question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did we say what is sankalpa?
A vow.
Determination.
So sankalpa is like a vow that you take. So that vow can change according to where you are in your devotional life. But every time it becomes a different goal, which is to the ultimate goal, of course. Mm. Little milestones.
Thank you. There, I see a question there. Yes, Magori.
Can I ask something specific, or you will...
You can. It would be ideal if you asked one of the...
Two remaining.
Yoginda is very knowledgeable. Nadia Mani, extremely knowledgeable.
For Kirtan, I would like to ask if you could kindly share your like pre-meditation and meditation during the Kirtan and some experiences of Nama Prabhu reciprocating.
Wow. So, one of the two, whom do you choose?
Yeah.
Nadia Mani.
Nadia
Mani.
Both.
It's right next to you.
I choose Nadia also.
I also was thinking this is a question for Nadia.
I was saying, when we met after the group discussions yesterday, I was saying to everyone, I felt really sorry for my group because I'm a very practical person. I'm not necessarily so esoteric. Often my prayer is actually just very, very simple, and it is, please engage me in your service and please help me engage others in service also. It's very simple. I feel like we're surrounded so often by beautiful imagery and bhajans and prayers. Like Marge was saying, our consciousness is already being filled. It's already being colored. If we can try to load ourselves up as much as that, because sometimes Kirtan festivals are very chaotic. Mm-hmm. And, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and often I'm making sure there's snacks in the bags and there's drinks and where's the babysitter, and I don't often have time to even meditate before I come to a kirtan, honestly. I try to keep it simple. Please, Krishna, somehow engage me in your service, and please help me let others be engaged in your service. If I can be of service to them, then that's my main meditation.
Wonderful.
And I'll ask Yogi too. Because he travels.
Wonderful. Is there a last question? Otherwise, this question will go to Yoginda as well.
There was a second part of the question.
What? Yes.
Kali Yuga, they said that the chanting of Dholi name is the most important thing to do, Harinam Sankirtan. But Prabhupada said also there are 9 processes of devotional service. Either you do one of them or you perform all. So can somebody become perfect although he has not so much taste for the chanting of the Holy Name?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Just taking the dust of the lotus feet of all these senior Vaishnavas, including yourselves, I pray to Prabhupada that he can answer your question. So, according to Shastra, the most powerful process is chanting Hare Krishna. So, although there are, although you can perfect one of the processes, like Prahlad Maharaj, he perfected Vandanam, and our Parikshit Maharaj, he perfected hearing. But in this age of Kali Yuga, specifically the chanting of the holy name is the most powerful, the most sublime process, the easiest process. So it's the easiest one, like our Maharaj, our Sachinandan Maharaj, he mentioned that like so many years ago, how many years ago? 1,000.
What did I do?
When you decided I need to reinvest in Krishna consciousness, figure out.
Oh yeah, when I after my crisis, yeah, I was young and foolish. 32 years ago.
So like Maharaj, 32 years ago, he had a crisis that maybe the process isn't working. But what did he investigate then? He investigated specifically the chanting of the holy name. He dove deeper into what is chanting because he knew that the chanting is the way that we can reach Krishna, the easiest way, fastest way in this age. So although there are so many nice, wonderful processes, like Ayendra Prabhu says, that all the processes are meant to enhance your chanting. So this eating prasad, associating with devotees, hearing class, it's all meant to make your chanting better, enhance it. So give it another chance. Give chanting another chance because chanting has come for you. Krishna has come for you.
Oh.
As the holy name. Krishna has come for you as the holy name, so give yourself to Krishna as the holy name.
Can I just add that there are basically five main processes that they say you can attain perfection in, and you will be able to go back to Godhead. Number one is Sadhu Sangha. Number two is Bhagavat Shravan, hearing of the Bhagavatam. Number three is Nam Seva, chanting the holy name. Number four is living in the Dham. And what was the last one?
Murti Seva.
Sri Murti Seva, worshipping the deity. But it's understood that without the chanting, those others do not bear their fruit. Ayendra Prabhu used to use the example. He would say, our illustrious god brothers Jananivas and Pankajanri, the two wonderful twin pujaris in Sri Mayapur Dham, for so many 40 plus years, they have been worshipping the deities there, Sri Sri Radha, Madhava, Panchatattva, Sri Nisringadeva Bhagavan. And he would say, their main service is as a pujari, dressing the deities and offerings. And he said, but what makes their service fruitful is that you can see after they've done the artik, they come off the altar and they join in the Harinam Sankirtan. They go dancing always, and they have such beautiful dancing. You see every Kirtan festival like that, they are dancing in the crowd. So this was just one small example to add that these other processes are meant to enhance and support your chanting. And in short, no. You cannot attain perfection if you don't have attraction for chanting the holy name.
Thank you very much. would you, if you feel an urge, not urge, if you wish to contribute, please, or?
I was just really happy that he gave such a strong answer, because I am a New Yorker, and we don't mince words, you know, we are not so delicate around other people's feelings about the words, and so it was really bravely asked to a panel of Kirtanias.
What?
I really appreciate that bravery. It's quite courageous.
You could. Yes, someone wants. No?
I was just going to say one
thing. Yeah, please.
You know, it's interesting because what came to my mind is the other processes. We kind of have to, like, it's kind of us approaching God. You think about it, reading Shastra, deity worship, it's us, right, going to God. But with the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, why is it so special? It's because we got to wait where we are, and we got to let Krishna come to us. He descends to us. So that is so powerful in itself, because in no other process would you get that. And yeah, that's what I wanted to share, that, you know, Krishna descends himself to you with the chanting. That's how powerful and dear it is to Krishna. And think about it, Lord Chaitanya, I mean, Krishna as Lord Chaitanya chants his own names. Nityananda chants his own names. They go around the whole world giving this greatest treasure, right?
What's that verse, Yogi? Like, which one?
Like, it's the treasure house. It's
Go look here, Prima. Yeah, go look here, Prima. Harinam
Sankirtan. That's it. And it's also. Right, so it's the greatest treasure, right? The holy name, right? Mahaprabhu, he wasn't doing anything else. We're followers of Lord Chaitanya. What was Lord Chaitanya doing? He was doing Harinam Sankirtan. So that is the process. Krishna came in this age to show us exactly how to be a devotee, exactly how to go back. So we just have to follow his footsteps. Right? And that's it.
Thank you very much. Well spoken. Please allow me now to round up this session. I remember once there was a situation where the devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, what service satisfies you the most? In the past, these were all Sangatan devotees who were going out distributing his books and who were totally committed to this. And Srila Prabhupada had said many times that he came to the West to spread Krishna consciousness, and therefore those who distributed his books were helping him the most in reaching his goal and his mission. So the book distributors, when they came and asked Prabhupada, what service pleases you the most? They were expecting the same answer which they had heard Prabhupada give many times before, and since they were so much dedicated to book distribution, they in some ways needed that answer, or wanted that answer very strongly. And Srila Prabhupada then said, what pleases me most is when you develop love of God. That is very important to note here. I like the subtlety in Achyuta Gopi's answer, where she praised the devotee who inquired. She said, you have asked this question from the panel of Kirtan devotees. What that you find it difficult to appreciate Kirtan so much, and you find it easier to do other services. So how brave of you, because what else will you get from a roaring lion than a roar? What else will you obtain from a Kirtan devotee?
But I would like to say, as someone who is really invested in, that's my path is also this path. It is all about developing love of Godhead. And I personally also am convinced by the scriptures. I'm convinced by the statements of my spiritual master. I'm convinced by by watching other devotees that this process that the kirtan will bring us to this goal of developing love of God. However, if there is a devotee who develops love of Godhead through another path, then I will be the first one who pays my obeisances to him. No, this is really all about coming back to our constitutional position. And yes, you saw my answer was given in the beginning of this class. We have so many impurities in our consciousness, and if we pour now something very pure all the time in our consciousness, it will take this out much easier than the other processes. But if you can develop love of Godhead through another process, that is very good. It is usually said it is easiest in Kali Yuga to do this to this, but you may be an exception. Sorry. Yes. It was a pleasure to do this around, and I thank all of you for your answers. You might have seen the different temperaments of the devotees, and that is the richness of spiritual life, and that is why we can learn so many perspectives and from so many devotees. It was very nice. I thank all of you for your wonderful answer. Nadia Mani, you are not simple. You got the essence when you said your two meditations. And you do very well. You're focusing on please let me serve you and please and facilitating that others can also serve through their singing. Good. We have now a little bit after two. There's prasadam for you. Let me just say we will continue at 4:30. Yes, there will not be a question and answer session before. We will start 4:30 here. Yes, of course, of course. I'm sorry to always jump over.
So, Hare Krishna, dear devotees, just a few practical things. We have brought some living name books. This is a book which is written by Satchinandan Swami, and it's actually a guidebook on chanting the holy name in as japa and kirtan, and we only have 18 copies here. So if you would like to obtain your copy, maybe you can contact Pranesha Virana, and you can just write so that they can see. And we have them here today, and we will have them there tomorrow throughout the week. And then also, please contact Kalindi and reconfirm the times of your departure. So some of you have filled out the forms when you're departing, and some of you have not filled out the forms. So the devotees, it would help them, or Kalindi, if you could just all send her an email with the time of your departure. Then, please pray to Nitai. It's also an announcement.
Pray to Nitai.
Yesterday we have heard from Ajuta Gopi that Nityananda is very, very merciful and that he is very active and that he really answers our prayers.
Clearly.
And very clearly. And Lord Nityananda, for those of you who don't know, he was actually going from home to home and knocking on people's doors. And when they would open, he would fall before them and he would say, please, please accept this process of chanting the holy names. So who is a better personality than Lord Nityananda to pray for taste in chanting or for our next step in chanting or next level in chanting or even for the second chance, as Yogindra would say. So we can go to Lord Nityananda and pray. And the last thing is, please reflect and write and maybe even go through your notes. because it's going to help you. Tomorrow we have an 8-hour kirtan, so tomorrow there will be just the morning class, and then we will sing 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the evening, and it's really your opportunity to connect with your sankalpa and with any realizations which you had, so that you can pray and absorb yourself, so you can maybe even go through the exercises and just reflect and remind yourself. Okay, now, happy...
Thank you. What?
Tomorrow's a Kadashi, so savor your grains.
Savor your grains.
Relish, it means relish. Yeah.
Get all your chocolate croissants. Internalize them. I'm also very militant about a Kadashi.
Militant?
As I am militant about chanting the holy name. So please know that tomorrow's a Kadashi, but it's such a wonderful day to celebrate the holy name.
Rivo!
Rivo! Rivo! Rivo! Okay, then, please have your prasadam and see you all later in the day. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.